No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Wednesday, August 24th. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. Halfway through a week that, by any measure, is a big one in what some have called the next frontier in civil rights. Remember Monday? A federal judge siding with Texas's request to block a federal directive for schools to accommodate the bathroom choices of transgender students. Attorney General Ken Paxton said he was pleased but not surprised by the court's order, and subsequently filed suit to remove discrimination protections against health insurers. That was a move the Human Rights Campaign, among others, blasted as shameful, cheap, and political. Others have been far more harsh in their assessment, both of Paxton and another Texas official, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who said he's not sure he's ever known a transgender person. But a few months back, at a high point or a low point in the political hyperbole surrounding bathrooms, Amber Briggle, the mother of an 8-year-old transgender boy from Denton, spoke at a news conference, directing her comments at Paxton and Patrick, though taking a markedly different approach and tone. This, she said, was an opportunity.
Here's an opportunity. Come have dinner with us. Come to church with us. Come to my son's basketball games and watch how he interacts with his friends and with his little sister. I think you'll both find that there are a lot of similarities from when you were 8-year-old boys too.
Well, guess who's coming to dinner? After Ken Paxton told a Dallas TV reporter he's up for the idea, Ms. Briggle called Paxton's office and yes, plans are in the works. Ms. Briggle joins us now from her home in Denton. I think a lot of folks thought you were just trying to make a point there about transgender people being human too, but you were sincere about doing dinner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was sincere in this offer. I think not only do we want to put a human face behind all of this and show Lieutenant Governor Patrick and Attorney General Paxton that that they probably had a lot in common with my son, who's 8 years old. I'm sure when they were 8-year-old boys, they probably loved fishing and basketball too. And I really sincerely wanted to put a human face behind this. But, you know, I think in the age of social media, it's so easy to just troll and just flame and just be cruel to each other online in our comments, saying things to each other that we would never say to each other's faces. And my husband and I have worked really hard in our community, especially to get people to, you know, to try and find some common ground and speak with each other face to face, because when we can get together as neighbors and as fellow Texans, we're going to realize we have a lot more in common than we thought we did. And so I was absolutely sincere in my comments.
Are you worried about your son being in the media spotlight here?
Yes and no. We didn't choose this fight. We sincerely didn't. My son has been transgender his whole life. I won't say that he transitioned at the age of 7 because he's always known who he is. I think it's more accurate to say that we transitioned as his parents because it took us that long for us to realize that this is really what was going on. So we didn't choose this fight, but when the politicians choose to use my child as a literal pawn in a pissing contest, I think any mama bear is going to stand up and sit and do what she thinks is right.
Well, then,
and that's what my husband and I are doing. I think if we don't, transgender people have always existed. They have always been among us. And it's not like they've suddenly realized how to use a public restroom in the last 6 months. I'm 38 years old, and I've literally never once seen anyone's junk in a public bathroom. And if I did, it was probably because I was doing something wrong and not them. So for all of a sudden, for us to be thrown in the spotlight like this, you know, I don't appreciate it, but I will fight for my son, and I will fight for transgender kids across this country.
I just want to ask a basic human question. I mean, and a lot of people would have a whole lot of difficulty, people who are who take great offense, deep offense, at what some of the politicians in Texas have done at this point. They couldn't sit at a table and have a civil discussion, conversation with Ken Paxton or Dan Patrick. I think it's probably safe to say they wouldn't dream of even trying. How do you do that? How do you prepare for that moment? And how are you going to, what's that discussion going to be like?
You know, I'm not sure. I honestly, I don't really have an agenda for this dinner other than just to have General Paxton meet my son. And, you know, MG is probably going to be bored out of his mind because it's, you know, grown-ups, you know, talking about grown-up things. He's an average 8-year-old kid and is completely unfazed by all of this. He has no idea why this is such a big deal. And I'm really proud of that as his mom, that he, and you know, and proud of the community that surrounds him, his friends, his teachers, our church. You know, like, no one thinks this is a big deal except for the politicians. So I really sincerely have no agenda for this meeting. I have a freezer full of local beef that I bought from a farm just north of town, and I'll have a friend bake a pie, and we're just going to kind of sit down and just meet each other.
Are you going to try to do this out of the media spotlight? I can't imagine you being able to actually have a dinner and a conversation if the media knows where you're going to be.
I don't want this to be a photo op for either side. Like, I am sincere. I want to build bridges instead of burn them. And I really just want General Paxton over to meet my child.
One other thing, and I want to go back to something that you said that I think some parents wouldn't understand. You mentioned that your son, you've long known your son was transgender. How did you know?
It was a long process. And I think, unfortunately, in the age of quick media clips, it's too easily overlooked how long of a discernment process this was for my family. No parent chooses this for their child. I did not choose for my child to live a life that is going to single him out, treat him differently, discriminate against him, harass him. 41% of transgender youth attempt suicide. Don't contemplate it. Actually attempt suicide because they feel so unloved and so unsupported by the people that should matter to them most. This was a long, drawn out process from the age of 2 when he first, you know, that was one of his first sentences was, "Mom, I'm a boy." And I've noticed, you know, as a baby and as a toddler, you know, he never really gravitated towards what we would think of as stereotypically girly toys. Like, we never really played tea party. He didn't really like stuffed animals. He would, you know, was more into like pushing things and throwing things and rolling things around like, you know, kind of stereotypical little boys do. But I, you know, it was my first child, and I thought, you know, babies are babies, and I'm just going to kind of watch this kid and see what it does, you know. But at the age of 2, when he said that he was a boy, you know, the first thing I thought of it, the last thing from my mind was, oh, you're transgender. Let's just, you know, great. Let's go from there. The first thing I thought of was, well, baby, just because you don't like, you know, My Little Pony and Barbies doesn't mean you're any less a girl. There's lots of different ways to be a girl. And you can be a tomboy, and you can be athletic, and you can be, you know, a science girl, and there's lots of different ways. And we really pushed that with him for years and years. You know, we let him pick out his own clothes like any parent does. And, of course, it was always Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man and Transformers. And, you know, then at the age of 5, he wanted a short haircut, and it was kind of a compromise. I'm like, all right, we'll do a pixie cut because little girls have pixie cuts, but they don't have buzz cuts, you know. Mm-hmm. So we kind of worked from there, and day by day, he just looked and acted more like a boy, to the point where he would, you know, hold the door open for strangers, and people would say, "Oh, what a great gentleman, you know, what a great young man you are." And I would say, "No, because I want to, you know, blow their minds with these like gender stereotypes." I'm like, "No, this is my daughter. Isn't she cool?" Mm-hmm. And then this, you know, and I would notice the way how MG would shrink when I would correct strangers. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed how strangers would actually apologize to me because it'd be, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought, I, she looks so much like a boy." And yeah, it happens all the time. And it just got to be really just awkward for everybody. Why are we struggling so hard to box this child in and force him to be something that he truly isn't? And after years of that, it was just shy of his 7th birthday, halfway through first grade, when I was finally, I'm like, you know, I sat down with MG and I'm like, "Is this what's going on? Are you really a boy?" And he looked at me and he's like, "Yeah, like I've been trying to tell you, like, why are you still calling me Gracie? I'm not your daughter, I'm your son." And once we acknowledged that, and that's why I say we transitioned as his parents, because he's always known. Once we acknowledged that as his family, and once the school administrators and his teachers, you know, got word of this and started supporting him, his grades have soared. His confidence has really grown. He's just really come into his own because finally, for the first time in his life, he doesn't have to live up to some standard that we're putting on him, but he can just be his authentic self.
Amber Briggle of Denton, Texas, the mother of an 8-year-old transgender boy who'll be meeting over dinner with the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Ms. Briggle, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me on this morning. I really appreciate it.
We reached out to the Attorney General's office in hopes of an interview. He's spoken with us here on the program before. His office sent us this statement, quoting here, "The Attorney General regularly meets with families around the state of Texas, and the details of such meetings will not be discussed in the media."